just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Steve, are you ready for a journey?
Yes, I love a good journey.
Good, because today we are doing a serious journey.
A serious journey? That doesn't sound like this podcast at all.
We don't do serious. It's serious. Also the first podcast of May, which makes it a patch cast.
Right, a patch cast.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the inspiration behind May's patch.
Is it because of your birthday?
It is because of my birthday.
No, it's not.
Everything. Well, I picked the patch for this month because I liked the design, and it's my birthday month, so
okay.
I've decided that that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, but today we're going to talk about Journey into Imagination, which is an attraction at Epcot, of course.
It most certainly is.
It's an attraction that you actually like in its current iteration, correct?
I love the ride. I don't know why I love the ride. I shouldn't love the ride, but I do.
Yeah,
it feels kind of like it's corny and cheesy, whatnot, right?
Sure.
But I just love it. Like, it's pretty fun. You can describe the ride, but you're on a platform. You get on almost like a train type of a thing where there's multiple cars.
Right.
That's a bad description of it. It's not even that. So you describe it.
Well, actually, what I find the most interesting about it is that people hate this iteration of the ride because it was so much better before.
Oh, why would you make it? Why? Tell me all about it.
I'm going to tell you all about it. So it goes back to Disneyland, basically.
Okay.
They hire a young man to scoop ice cream named Tony Baxter.
Oh, he's popular.
And Tony Baxter, for those of us in the Disney community, know him as an amazing Imagineer that's put together all sorts of really neat attractions.
Oh, fun.
His first one was Big Thunder Mountain Railroad in Disneyland.
Wow. And he started as an ice cream scooper. I want both of these jobs.
An Imagineer ice cream scooper?
Yeah. That's totally my dream job.
He also kind of took the lead on like Disneyland Paris design. He's very influential in the Disney parks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he had this grand idea for an imagination-based attraction for Disneyland that never actually got off the ground.
Okay.
So when they went to Epcot, he threw out a couple of ideas, and the only one that stuck was the Imagination Pavilion.
Okay.
And
all of his other ideas got X'd.
Yes. Wow. For one reason or another, they had to get put by the wayside.
Poor guy.
Right? So they go to Epcot, and they have this this pavilion that's being sponsored by Kodak.
Okay.
And they want something that's really imaginative, is their only real stipulation on it.
Fun enough, sure.
And so Tony Baxter's like, I have this great idea that we didn't get to use before. Let's try it here, right? And so when we go to Epcot, the Imagination Pavilion, as it is, is legitimately just the ride.
I was just going to ask that. Are there other things in that pavilion that I don't know about?
Yes, apparently. Okay. There were lots of things in there. Like, so to jump ahead a little bit, you know at the end of the current ride you get off and they have kind of like interactive
play center
stuff.
Yeah.
So the whole pavilion used to be more like that. And they had like a, they called it the Rainbow Tunnel, where
it's
long tunnel that has lots of colored lights in it.
Uh-huh. Michael Jackson's famously photographed in
Michael Jackson famous photo in there. They also had a put yourself in a scene type thing where you were in front of a green screen and they put you into different scenarios.
And obviously this was cutting edge at the time.
It was very cutting edge.
I see.
For them to be able to do it in such a quick turnaround was really impressive to people. And then they decided to do this dark ride, Journey into Imagination. And Tony Baxter is obviously in love with, like, kind of the steampunk Jules Verne type look.
Okay.
And so his character that he decided to be kind of in charge was the Dream Finder. And you'll see him cosplayed a lot. Oh. It's a guy in a suit with, like, a top hat.
Oh, okay.
And, like, a full beard and a mustache kind of deal. And the Dream Finder had a sidekick who is Figment. Figment of Imagination, right?
Oh, that's fun.
And then he would fly around on a big, giant steampunk machine called the Dream Catcher that looked like a dirigible, like, balloon-type thing. And the ride sounds really impressive. The first ride that they had in there was 12 minutes long, which would make it one of the longer rides in Epcot.
Yeah.
And you got into these cars, like you were describing before. It's like it's a train of cars.
Three or four cars, two rows each.
Right. And then they had the liberty to turn on
each one of the individual cars. And
right.
So
they can all turn
left and right.
Right.
It's basically left, right, and forward. That's
right.
Basically how you get.
And so you would get into these cars, and you would go into an area that was set up just like Carousel of Progress. It was a rotating stage.
Huh.
So they literally built the
stage. This is the ride that was originally there?
Okay.
Yeah. And this was built, and people went on it.
Oh, yes.
Got it.
And loved it.
Okay.
So the first scene you went into, you have the Dream Finder riding his Dream Catcher machine, which was huge, you know, the size of like a bedroom, basically.
Yeah.
And they built him five times, so there are five theaters on this rotating platform.
Okay.
And he would basically go along with you as you were going around and do
fine.
Like an introductory type thing.
Yeah.
Like
Pop Goes the Weasel?
Well, it wasn't that obnoxious, apparently, though. And then you would split off from there. So you would basically go around this giant circle and then split off. And you would go into these different themed areas.
Fun.
So, like, the first area was themed after art. And they had huge murals that were on the walls. And they all, with lighting changes, would all change color.
Oh, that is fun.
And they had, like, a Figment.
And this is back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Fun.
They had a Figment with, like, a paintbrush in there and animatronic type stuff. And then they had, like, rooms for literature and performance and science. So all these things are basically, the idea was to show that born from imagination is all of our modern day conveniences and artistic formats.
Right.
Which is
absolutely true.
A great way to show, you know.
Yeah.
Where the future is going, since that's kind of what Epcot's deal is. You know, what's coming up? What's in the future? And the idea of Journey into Imagination is everything is based off of someone just dreaming it up in the first place. Right?
Yeah.
And so this ride was extremely popular. It had its One Little Spark song that everybody loved. Everyone loved Figment. His characterization initially was very childlike. He didn't speak a whole lot. He was more innocent.
I can see why Disney got rid of it then.
Right.
Just kidding. Keep going.
But then, around 1998...
It started getting old.
Disney wanted to fix it.
Uh-huh.
Because it was getting outdated and needed repairs.
And they wanted it to remain popular.
Right.
Okay.
But Kodak was suffering at the time.
Oh.
I believe 1998, it was starting to get to the point where we're seeing more digital
cameras.
Stuff start to come out.
Yeah, digital cameras were becoming popular. Smartphones are still a decade away.
Right. But people liked not having to use film.
Uh-huh.
Right? So Kodak was struggling as it was. And Disney was already losing lots and lots of sponsors in their park.
Yeah.
And so Disney just basically went to him and said, please, we really want to do this. And Kodak said, fine, but we're not going to give you all the money that
we're going to.
We are...
Cut back your budget?
Yes.
Oh!
Disney had a budget cut.
Oh!
And between that and my favorite scapegoat, Disneyland Paris, Disney was not in a position to put a whole lot of money into things.
Wow, I'm impressed that they even tried to do anything during that time period then.
Yeah, very true. Except for, the problem is they did do something and it was...
Horrific.
Really, really bad. Like, I didn't realize how bad it was, but if you think about this original ride that's 12 minutes long...
Yeah.
And full of life and lots of movement and animatronics and these great characters...
Right.
So they shut it down in 1998 to do a major refurb, right?
Okay.
And it reopens as Journey into Your Imagination is the concept. And people were horrified because all of the Dreamfinders and all of the Figments had been removed.
Oh.
There were no more characters in the ride.
Oh, the guy that they loved.
Yeah. This character that everyone had... Basically, he'd basically been an unofficial ambassador for Epcot, basically.
Yeah.
They took them all out, and they turned it very sterile. They, kind of like how it is now when you're walking into the queue and there's all just, like, the doors and the desk.
Uh-huh.
That was basically the whole ride.
Weird.
Yeah, and, like, they said at the beginning you would... pull up to a mirror and they would test your imagination. They would show that you had none.
Oh.
And then you would go through this series of rooms where they
obviously do not know who they're talking to.
Right. Then you go through a series of rooms and whatnot with weird optical illusion type stuff.
Okay.
And then you get to the end and they'd retest you and see how much more imagination you had, right?
Okay.
Which is interesting, I guess.
Slightly offensive.
But the real problem was is that they had literally hacked the ride more than in half.
So it's like now a five-minute ride?
It is now a five-minute ride.
Oh, I hate it when they do this.
Right? They didn't have the money or the time to apparently really overhaul it, so they decided, well, we'll just carve out this one section.
Huh.
So all of the Dreamfinders, all of the Dreamcatchers, all of the Figments were all gone.
Wow.
And people were so mad. And you can't blame them.
Right.
Like, they took all the personality out of the ride.
Yeah, it'd be like if you took all the pirates out of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right, exactly. And just had stagnant, like, pictures buildings. Of what pirates were, you know? And because originally they were going to do Project Gemini. Which was going to be like a $350 to $500 million overhaul of Epcot to make it more modern and up-to-date
and
clean things up or whatever. And because of Disneyland Paris, my...
Say it all together, folks.
Oh, jeez. Just kidding. It makes me mad every time.
So they had to take the full $500 million and give it to Paris?
Well, partially. And part of it was that the current CEO... and we all know who I'm talking about, was not a fan of the idea of overhauling things. He didn't think it was as important as putting in more high thrill rides and things like that.
I see.
So, people were mad that they had taken all the character out of the ride.
Yeah, that's pretty offensive.
So, they closed down again and reopened it in its current...
In the current version. So do you think that second version is the same track that we have today then?
It is the same track.
That's the same.
Yeah.
And then they just were able to change out all of the vignettes that you see along the way.
Right.
That was all improved and rebuilt.
And I think I've said it before, but I feel like it does lack a little bit of life. It feels like there's a lot of dead space in that ride.
Yeah.
But they did manage to put Figment back in.
Mm-hmm.
There is no... Dreamfinder anymore, though.
True. Yeah. No, I don't. I'll have to look.
Instead, they have the guy from Monty Python in there.
Yeah.
Singing and whatnot, you know.
And it does have my favorite room of any Disney ride ever, which looks a lot like the inside of Space Mountain with that last room when you go to disembark from the ride, and it's the pink lights, and then the lights come on and you're actually in a room. It's awesome.
Well, and the that final scene is also really fun, where you move into what looks like a science room and it's just a bunch of dials and televisions.
Yeah.
And then they do like a stage quick change where the lights go out and there's a big gust of wind and then it's all colorful and there's like thousands of figments running around.
That is a fantastic
part. It's a great effect.
It really is. And then the other thing to love about that ride, and probably a bad sign, is the fact that it's always like a walk-on. We've
stood in line for maybe 5 minutes for that ride.
Yeah.
And that's been on busy, busy, busy days.
Which probably speaks to the popularity of it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we also did it fairly early in the morning. I bet if we checked it later in the day, it would still have a 20 to 30 minute wait
that's
on it.
That's true. You know? And that's why we jump on it so quick in the mornings, because it's so easy.
Right. But in true Figment format, I wanted to do something fun for the patch, and I'm a big fan of dragons.
Yeah. Because that is the patch of the month, is Figment this month.
Figment is our patch of the month. The main reason that I did it is because I like dragons. I did one patch already. You can see it on our website, disneypatch.com. It's a Maleficent-inspired dragon with a cradle.
Yeah.
Which is super fun. But Figment, I decided to reimagine in a different way and turn him into a more Asian-inspired dragon.
Right, or like an adult version of him.
Yeah, like it's a scarier, more aggressive imagination, I guess.
This is teenage Figment.
Right, yeah. He's totally in your face.
But it is very Asian-inspired.
It is. And
which is what dragons are, aren't they?
Well, the dragons have so many influences. Some are more European, and some of them are more Middle Eastern.
That's true.
It really just depends on... And I went through a lot of designs before I got to the current one. I did some more European version dragons. A
European dragon?
Yeah. And those are the ones that you usually see in movies. They have the four legs and the wings and the long necks, and, you know. And the Asian dragons are more serpent-like. They have more fluid bodies and whatnot.
That's very true.
And I thought it looked better on a patch, honestly.
Right.
It looked pretty cool that way.
It does look amazingly cool, and it is very much a new part of your imagination. It's Figment in your imagination, quite literally.
It's a new Figment of your my imagination.
Yours too, everybody. Yours
Why
too.
Why not? So I think it's a good...
Folks love Figment.
They do. He's everywhere.
And why not love him?
He's become very popular lately, too. Every Epcot event that they have,
Figment
shows up on merchandise for that event.
Yeah. And I do like that they're giving some of the smaller brands some love. You know, they're doing it again with the Orange Bird as well.
Right. Some of the more obscure characters.
Ah, see how much we love that.
We're on brand.
That's true. I mean, we love Mickey and all, but...
No, I think the reason that people respond... Exactly. People respond to these other characters because you can get Mickey on anything.
No, that's true.
Any surface that you might want a Mickey Mouse on, you can probably find one.
Mm-hmm.
But Figment and Orange Bird and Oswald and all these other characters that don't get as much attention, when you find something that has them on it, you're like, oh, I'm so excited to find this, you know?
Like Flash. You never see Flash on nothing.
You really don't see Flash on anything. Steve was just recently reminded how much he likes the sloth.
Oh, he's so funny.
Zootopia.
Yeah. We have a couple of few other surprises this month as well. We have new packaging, whatnot.
Oh my goodness. I almost forgot to even mention the new packaging.
It's pretty fun.
Very exciting. We tried to make it very professional.
Well, and yeah, we wanted to be classy and kind of fun and really kind of give people a bit of a moment when they get to open their patch.
Yeah.
We thought that would be a lot of fun.
And it gave us an opportunity to also kind of put almost a mission statement in there that kind of talks about what we're about.
Yeah.
And it's at the beginning of our podcast now, too. But just celebrating the unique things.
We have an official
things.
Mission statement now?
Well, you know, we're an official business. I'm officially in business.
Apparently. That's cute.
But I would love to hear feedback on it. I'm really pleased with it.
Sure.
Just the basic design, I think, is fun. So we reimagined our packaging
for Figment. Oh, look how well that worked out.
It's perfect.
There's like another surprise as well this month, but we don't have time to talk about it today. So we'll have to talk about it later.
We have another surprise this month?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it.
Oh, gosh. It might be a surprise for me, too.
No, you know all about it.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. I won't be surprised. But it's a super exciting patch with Figment looking all cool. It says Figment down the side for those people that are character challenged. So if,
well, this was a, yeah, this one you would, yeah, it doesn't look like the identical version.
It doesn't look like the old story, the old version of Figment. So I felt like putting a label on there, putting his name on there
was fun.
Would help people notice and be like, oh, it is a Figment. It's just a different style of Figment. That's fun. You know, they're very exciting, very cool. You can buy them at DisneyPatch.com. Or you can even sign up for our monthly patch club.
Oh, that's right, because everybody else already got theirs.
It's already sent out.
Let's hope.
Literally. So if you were part of our club, it'd already be on its way to you, and you could be excited about getting it already. Which is, I mean, does it get any better? Way.
How easy is that?
Right? But it's like I always say, all it takes is one little spark of imagination. Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.